This is the Grind It Podcast. We know just like grinding a handrail or across a coping can be challenging at times, so can life be. We share God's Word and personal stories to encourage you to keep grinding and to not give up. It's time to grind. So here's the old school skateboarder himself, Randall Tucker.
All right, so with that, did you have something? So with that in mind, you know, I asked at the beginning, what does the cross mean? So let me ask you this. What does the cross or the crucifixion mean to you personally? You said it was cool. It's pretty cool. It really is because what it means for us. I'm going to answer that question first. Why y'all think about your answer? But I'll explain why I think it's cool. All right. Luke 9:23-27. Jesus says to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily." Right. Mm-hmm. There's the cross taken, and this is before they didn't know what he's talking about because he hasn't died on the cross yet. Mm-hmm. But I bet they understood it when it all happened. Mm-hmm. If you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. Mm-hmm. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in glory, and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God. So Jesus says if we want to be his follower, then we got to give up our own way, right? Mm-hmm. And take up our cross daily and then follow him. Mm-hmm. So this is what I wrote in my notes. We cannot have life until there is a death. Mm-hmm. We can't have, even though we're, Paul talks about in Ephesians that we're dead men walking. Mm-hmm. Because I can't remember exactly where the passage in the King James talks about it. He quickens us through Christ. And Paul says we're dead men walking. In other words, we're dead in our sin if we've never given our lives to Christ and been washed in the blood of Jesus. So we cannot have life until there's a death to self, right? Mm-hmm. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body," this tent, right? "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's why the cross is so cool. Yeah. "Everything I do," in other words, this is what I was talking about this morning with the worship team. "Everything I do," or everything it should be anyway, "everything I do is motivated by Christ's love for me." By Christ's love for me. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls and compels us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that all those who live will no longer live for themselves," so there's that dying of self, mm-hmm, "but we'll live for him who died and was raised for their sake." Mm-hmm. So when someone has died to themselves, they are controlled by the love of Jesus. Yeah. And it should be evident. And that's what I was asking. That's what I was saying this morning. You know, I want people to see Jesus when they see me. Mm-hmm. Don't see me, Randy. See, I want people to see Jesus. I want people to see that I've nailed my hands and feet to the cross and have given them to Jesus and said, "Use my hands for your glory, Lord. Put them to use for your kingdom. Guide my feet where you want me to walk, to where I can best be used for your glory." The old man is crucified, right? Mm-hmm. As Paul says in Romans 6, we're buried with him in baptism. We're raised to newness of life, a new creation. That's what the cross means to me.
Yeah.
New life. Mm-hmm. And walking in freedom, mm-hmm, hope, joy, mm-hmm, all because Jesus loves me and loves us.
Doesn't mean that we won't have hard days, yeah, right? Doesn't, yeah, mean that we won't have difficult times, but that he's with us through it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what does the cross mean to you?
While we were still sinners at our worst, mm-hmm, he died 5. For us.
Yes.
And that's a hard one because you think he could have come down off the cross. He could have saved himself from mockery, but he knew that he needed to do that in order to make us clean.
Mm-hmm.
So he loved us enough to do that. And Billy and I were talking about that, is that you can wrap your head around that he died for the whole world. But when you make it personal, that he died just for me, it's really hard. It's
humbling.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That's good. That's what Brian was talking about this morning, the four words for love, and he got the agape love, yeah. Which is what 1 Corinthians 13 that he read, that's the love that Paul's talking about, that agape love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what God, it's just an unconditional love.
And when everybody has their story, everybody has their walk, but when you haven't had a earthly father that gives you unconditional love, it's a little harder to wrap your brain around that.
Yeah, and that's the problem I had in my whole life, because my dad committed suicide when I was 3, and then my stepdad was not a good man, and was very abusive. So I never had that.
Yeah, and they all...
My stepdad told me that he loved me one time. Mm-hmm. One time.
So having a concept of a father who loves you so much that he gave his own son for to have fellowship with you is...
Yeah, it's foreign.
I know, for me, one of the things that strikes me in what you're asking was that, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was a little girl, right? Mm-hmm. 4 or 5, 6 years old, I remember asking, Jesus, come into my heart, you know, forgive me. And as much as a young child can, I asked Jesus, I think he came in and saved me. Mm-hmm. Had I died at that point, I'm pretty positive I would have gone to heaven. But then my teenage years came in. I was much more difficult. but, you know, and had I died at that point, I don't know. Because I had definitely turned away. But as an adult, I think I was 25 when I surrendered to Jesus. And I remember it was that death to self that happened at first. I was just weeping mess on my living room floor all by myself. I wasn't, you know, nobody was leading me through a prayer. I wasn't at a church service or anything like that. But I'm just boo-hooing, Jesus, come in, I know I need you. You know, and it was pretty pitiful. But over the next couple of weeks after that, I remember that feeling of, like, heaviness. And it wasn't until later I was like, it was the death to self. That was what was going on, because I was he was putting to death all of my desires and my thoughts and the ways that I thought I should be doing things, as I was trying to, you know, turn and go, okay, but I know this is what you want, and I know this is what faith is, and help me to, you know, that first couple of weeks, I was like, dude, I thought I was supposed to feel better. But it was really heavy the first couple of weeks of walking with him as that self was being crucified. But praise the Lord, he didn't leave me there. Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Yeah.
Kind of for me, a couple like reminders is, like, one is that there's purpose and that there's growth and suffering. And that's one of the big ones for me is that, okay, like, what I'm going through, it has a purpose. And there's, like, part of me that's growing, even if I don't want that to happen. But I think another thing is, for me, a struggle that I've had for most of my life was, like, choosing. Like, somebody choosing me. And so, to think of, like, God dying for... Obviously, he died for everybody. But in my head, like, that God would die for me is, like, that he chose to die for me is something that it was so hard to wrap my brain around in my younger teenage years. And now that I'm older, it's just something that it really messes with my head sometimes, because I'm like, whoa, like, hold on, this makes no sense. But at the same time, it's like, it's that reminder of, like, hey, if nobody else chooses you, I did. I'm the only one that matters.
That's good.
Amen.
That's
good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's kind of like the struggle I always have, because my stepdad used to beat me until I peed my pants. And it wasn't just a form of punishment. I mean, it happened quite often. But and so, like, when I would sin or do something, I'm very cautious. I try my best not to sin. But I'm a sinner. I know that. I know that Romans 3:23. I fit the bill. I fall in sin and come short of the glory of God. So I know I'm a sinner. So I'm not saying that I don't ever sin, but I try not to. But for the longest time, I would. you know, people would say, God's, you know, the lightning bolt's going to come down and strike you down, or God's mad, God's angry. That's the way I looked at God. I could not call God Father. I just couldn't do it. I never could do it. And because the two examples I have for dads was not good. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I God would choose me and love me. Mm-hmm. I don't, it does not compute. Mm-hmm. You know, so for the longest time, because I was a full-time preacher for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when Father's Day come around, I couldn't do it. It was a struggle. But now, man, I can breach right through it. You know, after a lot of counseling and, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. Yeah, healing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I that's good. I get what you're saying.
He chooses us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What else you got?
Anyone?
I think just on that point about the father, it's important as men, especially in our culture today, to model godly characteristics.
Yeah.
So that we don't mar our children's relationship and how that they view God.
Yeah.
That they feel that God is safe and someone who can be trusted, and that God loves them and is always going to be there for them and provides for them. So as men and as dads, it's important for us to model absolutely. That in our lives.
100%.
Yeah.
Which means as dads, we got to know the word.
Absolutely.
We got to have a relationship with Jesus so that we can model it for our kids, right?
Yeah. When I think about it for me, it's I'm a builder. So I think about things that I've created with my hands. There's, you know, houses I've built. And I think, you know, if I build this beautiful house, which I've built many houses and a beautiful home for me and my family, but if that house went into decay mm-hmm. and into rot, I would be like, let's just tear that thing down and just start over fresh. Maybe we just start on the foundation and build back up from there. Mm-hmm. But God didn't do that with us. You know, He took all the rottenness and sin of our lives and said, I'm going to restore this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do this through a way that there's no way I would pick to die for something I created. If I built that house, I'm not going to lay down and go, I'm going to die for that because that's how much I love that house. But obviously we're more valuable. We're created in God's image than a home. But the way He chose to redeem us is just, it's a mystery. It's so confounding to me to understand that this is the way that I'm going to show you that I love you.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest gift that we could have is Him laying down His life. If I deserve all the punishment that he took for me.
Yeah.
All the sin that I've committed against Him is deserving of what He took and to suffer the punishment of the cross. But even if I took that punishment, it still would just be a just punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be made right in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. I would just be receiving what I deserve. And Christ took that punishment for me, so now that I can have life and be restored in relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
Mm. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, mm-hmm. that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree.
Yeah.
He bore our sins.
Yes.
Yeah.
In His body, He was sinless.
Yes.
And He became sin.
He who knew no sin became sin for us, that in Him we may become the righteousness of God.
Yes.
How's that even possible?
Amazing.
That, I know. That transaction is mm-hmm. so crazy. And it all, it grieves me sometimes when I hear believers, they're like, oh, I'm just a sinner. Mm-hmm. Saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, you know, I mean, yes, we all fall short of the glory. Even on our best days, our righteousness is filthy rags,
yep.
right? But I'm not a sinner anymore because my nature has been changed.
Yeah.
That's not who I am. He became sin for me so that I might become the righteousness of God. So I'm no longer the sinner that's just saved by grace. But now I've become the righteousness of God. And not through any effort on my part.
Mm-mm.
Not because I was ascending some holy hill to get there. Or I was being perfected. But because of what He's done. And how I've received that. It's amazing and, yes, and confounding all at the same time.
We sang about it this morning. Amazing love.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can it be?
Yeah.
That you, my king, would die for me.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's truth.
It's very humbling when you when you bring it down to as an individual, like you were saying a while ago. It's just, it's easy to say, yeah, he died for everybody. Mm-hmm. But when you really hone it down to you know, he chose me. Mm-hmm. He loved me. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
We are releasing the sound, cause the lost generation to be found.
All you Grind It Podcast listeners, I know you enjoy some good music, but I want to tell you about some awesome music. Now, my friend Mary Gamboa, she's also the worship leader at the church where I worship, called Authentic Church here in Alcoa, Tennessee. We'd love to invite you to come out and check us out sometime when you get a chance. We start at 10 a.m. and we're on Lindsay Street here in Alcoa. Mary has produced a new album called Jealous, and you can check that out anywhere music is being streamed. But you can also check it out at marygamboamusic.com. That's Mary, G-A-M-B-O-A, music.com. Go check that out.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Anything else? Anybody want to add anything?
Yeah. Let's see. I think the you mentioned earlier about how many different prophecies were fulfilled, and we were just talking about this in the women's meeting, you know, yesterday, and the statistical probabilities of one person fulfilling even just 8 of those prophecies about who the Messiah will
be. And there's over 300.
Right. So there's hundreds of prophecies about, I mean, just imagine, Dakota, that 1,000 years ago, somebody wrote about a girl named Dakota who would be sitting at a kitchen table with all these people in Maryville, Tennessee. Yeah. Right. In like very, 1,000 years ago, somebody wrote that about you.
In detail.
Right. They described you. That's what we're talking about. Like, wow, how does that happen? But the fact that Jesus not only fulfilled 8, but that he fulfilled all of them.
Everyone.
All of the prophecies about him. But the probabilities are like, okay, imagine the whole state of Texas filled with silver dollars 2 feet deep. And there's one silver dollar that's marked with an X.
You gotta find it.
And a guy who is blindfolded is led into the center of Texas and said, "Here, find the one with the red X on it, first try. Go ahead." That was like the probability of the same statistical probability of Jesus fulfilling just 8 of those prophecies.
It's crazy.
Not 300 and something, you know.
And all those religious leaders knew that. They knew the prophecies. That's what gets me. They knew the prophecies. Them guys have been studying that they dedicated their whole life to that, and they couldn't see.
But isn't this Mary and Joseph's son?
Yeah.
You know, isn't he from Nazareth? We know him. Mm-hmm. It can't be him.
That's just mind-blowing to me.
Mm-hmm. I liked what you said in the sense of, like, they didn't want to. And it was like, it was their pride to them of like, that makes me less than.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the people saw them as holy, but in reality, were they? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be able to lay yourself down in general is hard, but in front of, like, God and Jesus, like, that's a whole different level. And so, to have that much pride is already, like, a lot on you. And then to be like, oh, yeah, he is. Like, it's not something that they want to.
Yeah, that's why you see in the book of Acts, when like in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, they say, what do we got to do to be saved? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because the Jews, they thought he was a blasphemer. They would not even say Jesus because they thought they were blaspheming God to do so. And you think about Paul and how he was Saul before he became Paul, right? Before he had the encounter with Jesus. And he hated the people of the way, which is what Christians were known as, the people of the way. And he thought he was doing God a favor by getting rid of these so-called people of the way, these people who followed Jesus. Going into, I mean, how bold can you be to go into homes and pull out men and women, grandmas and grandpas, busting up families and throwing them in prison where they're dying, many of them, or being tortured or whatever, because of their faith. And he thought he was doing God a favor. And they literally crucified God. God's son. They should have known. Over 300 prophecies, and they fulfilled every one of them, which they helped to fulfill, by the way. And they missed it. And they missed it bad.
Except Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah.
And Nicodemus.
Nicodemus, yep.
Right? I mean, that's what hit me in these last few verses, is Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council. So he's part of the Sanhedrin, right? He's right. Part of the teachers of the law. And
the high court.
Pharisees, Sadducees, right? Who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Lord, may it be said of us that we are waiting for the kingdom of God to be manifested on the earth, yeah. Right? But he went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Now, when someone died at this point and you touched their body, you were ceremonially unclean. This was during Passover.
I didn't think about that.
This is High Holy Days, right? Yeah. This is High Holy Days, and they were trying to get him off the cross before the Passover actually started. But Joseph goes and hazards his own ceremonial cleanliness to ask for Jesus' body and get him off the cross.
Yeah, 3-hour window. He had to get it done before 6 o'clock. Jesus died at 3 o'clock, so he had a 3-hour window to get that done.
Yeah, even so, if you would touch the dead body during those 3 hours, you would not be considered clean enough to go participate in Passover with the rest of your family.
Yeah, I've never thought about that.
Or to go into the synagogue to worship. You know, there was a whole like ritual cleansing that had to happen.
Right.
And probably a few days before you would be able to participate in anything. But obviously, he saw what was going on, recognized who Jesus was, and then did go ask for the body. He took him, wrapped the linen around him, and took down the body and put it in. And I think one of the other gospels says, laid it in his own tomb, right? In a tomb that was actually his. Mm-hmm. Meant for him, he put it in his place. You know, there go I, right? I should be dying for those sins, right? That's God's mm-hmm. justice, mm-hmm. right? That I should be paying the penalty for my own sins, but not me, yet Jesus did, mm-hmm. and buried in my place so that I can live.
That's good. You know who we don't find there at the cross, taking his body down?
The disciples?
None of them.
Where'd they go?
I'll die with you.
Oh, no. I'll never leave you.
Me and Jim were talking about that earlier when you opened a question up, is the women were there, mm-hmm. but the men stayed away. Why was that?
Fear.
That's what I told her.
Fear. Because they knew they were next. Mm-hmm. Or were afraid they were next. Because where they at when Mary goes back to tell them that
they're hiding.
They're behind locked doors.
Yep.
Scared to death. But like what Brian was talking about this morning, it just shows you the difference. The Holy, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, how that boldness. Because in Acts chapter 2, man, it's Peter. Just night and day difference. It's so good.
Think about it. One of those women was Mary Magdalene, right?
Right.
That we learned that Jesus has already driven 7 demons out of her. She knew what she had been delivered from.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
She's like, bring on whatever you got from the man side of things.
Right.
I don't care. He's already set me free. He's already delivered me. Yeah. I'm going after him.
Yeah, but shouldn't we all be that way, though? I mean,
yes.
Because taking it back to the personal thing, like you mentioned earlier, once we know what God has redeemed us and saved us from and brought us out of, it should just give us some of that holy, like you call it, holy boldness or whatever you just said.
Yeah, the holy boldness.
Yeah, you know, dance, you know, rejoice, sing, raise hands, whatever. Who cares? You know, because you know what you've been delivered from. And when somebody's sitting back and making fun of you, it's because they don't know. They don't know what you've been delivered
from. He said, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Healed my body, touched my mind. He saved me, oh, just in time.
See, we do bust out in song.
I know, right?
You're such an expert.
Right.
Oh, man.
What else you got? Anything else? For Mary Praise?
It's good stuff. It's heavy. And praise the Lord that this is not the end of the story.
Amen.
You know, we all are living on this side of the cross, seeing that he's been raised,
amen.
Right? And ascended into heaven. But can you imagine being Mary and his mother and even the disciples hearing about it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Our hope is gone?
That's what I'm saying. This is
Wait,
heavy.
Wait, he's the Messiah. It. He's not supposed to go out like this, right?
Right.
I'm going fishing.
Right? Let's go back to what we used to do. I guess that's what we do now. I don't know. Do we go pray? What are we supposed to do now? Our leader's gone. You know what I mean? Right. Like, what were they feeling at that point in time? And it's easy for us to look back on this side of things and go, oh, I would have done that so much better. You know?
No, we won't. But we have an insight of that. Because is it Luke's gospel that talks about the road to Emmaus? The two guys on the road to Emmaus?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys were just bummed out.
Yeah, they were.
But, I mean, they were downcast and trodden. Are you the only one who hadn't heard the news?
Mm-hmm.
Do you not know it? How can you not know what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we thought he was the one.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally say that. We thought he was the one.
Well, they said they were his disciples. Obviously not the 12, but they were disciples.
Well, yeah, followers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, praise the Lord that we don't get left in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's gone space, but we get to look at
Sunday's
the fact
coming.
That he's... Amen.
Sunday's coming.
Whoop, whoop.
All right, why don't you pray then?
Oh, thank you, Lord. God, we praise you that this is the death and the burial. The crucifixion is not the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That you rose and you are alive, seated at the right hand of the Father. And you live to make intercession for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to die the death that I deserved and be buried and separated from the Father so that I could have fellowship with you.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we could have fellowship with you and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
God, we thank you for your incredible plan and your amazing timing. When we get downtrodden, when we feel frustrated about things going on in our lives, Lord, help us to remember that your timing is perfect. And there's nothing that can thwart that. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that we have the hope of the resurrection to look forward to.
Amen.
And that we'll discuss in the next podcast.
Amen.
We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
If you want to hear something awesome, YouTube, That's My King by Dr. S.M. Lockridge. From 1970s.
Ooh, that's so good.
It is powerful. It is so good.
What is that?
Gotta crank it up.
No.
He's.
It's a podcast.
I'll play it for you.
Mm-hmm. Your
so
what's the title of it again?
That's My King.
Mm-hmm.
Just YouTube, That's My King, and it'll come up.
So good.
It's really good. So keep grinding.
Thanks for listening to the Grind It Podcast. If we could pray for you or encourage you in any way, please email us at thegrinditpodcast@gmail.com or you can text us at 865-418-2824. If you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe and you'll be notified about new episodes. If you're listening on an app, leave us a 5-star review, but most importantly, share the Grind It Podcast with a friend. God bless you and remember, keep grinding.